mate, you've always got to give a little dig to the Sharks.
Never a little dig, mate.
A big one.
That's a massive one.
Mate, this is where we get to say mate.
I love mate. I love say mate.
This is our New Zealand-Australia insert.
Yes.
We are the best, aren't we?
Oh, mate, it's lovely to hear you say it.
And we have been for a while. And you know what? We say it with humility.
As always, Mike, let's go.
Dilulup, can you do it?
Obviously.
Hey?
Obviously.
Robbie Vessels.
Obviously.
16 rounds into the United Rugby Championship.
I can't wait to see where this is going.
Who would have said that the Lions were third and Leinster were fourth?
Wow.
16 rounds in. That's 16 matches, folks. Most games the Lions have ever won in the competition in succession. It's six. Most points they've ever got. The highest they've ever been, and on their way to making the playoffs for the first time. Zales, 4 years ago, you told me in confidence, watch these Lions.
Are we going to take credit for it now, mate?
You told me 4 years ago.
Ah, brilliant.
He commented.
Yeah, look, you don't have to know anything about rugby to see that these boys have been coming for a while, and fantastic. Third place on the standings, mate. Great to have two South African teams in the top four. If the league ended today, you'd have some home semi-finals or quarterfinals, and it's just great to see that the Lions are clicking, mate. And I think that, like I've said multiple times in the show, they've got some very key pieces in certain places, and they just lined up to be a team that gives it their all every single week at the Lions Den, where it's hard to beat them. And great to see. Also, a little asterisk. Thank you, Benetton, for keeping Leinster in fourth place.
Jacob Umaga. Incredible kick. And that wasn't a Leinster. That wasn't a Leinster kind of academy side that they sent. There was quite a few Irish internationals. The core of the pack was the Irish pack. Most of their backs will play in the Investec Champions Cup semi-final against Toulon this weekend. That was a good Leinster side going there to win, to consolidate their standings, because they want to host a semi-final in the URC, and by that, they want to finish top to potentially host a final.
Yeah.
Because no one really goes to Dublin that easily at the Aviva and beats Leinster.
No.
In any competition. The Bulls have done it not at the Aviva. They've done it at their club stadium when they beat them in the first season, the semi-final. But they are one of the toughest teams to beat in Dublin. So the key in the URC is you want them to be traveling. And ideally, you want them to be traveling to South Africa, because we saw what happened a couple of years ago. They traveled to Loftus and they got scrum back to Dublin and they lost.
Yes, they did.
It was an incredible display from the Bulls. The Bulls are handing in there, brother. Thanks to the Iceman, Andre Pollard. We'll get to them just now. The Stormers, and I spoke to you at great length on Saturday morning, and I asked you, is it going to be okay? And you said, ek weet nie. These are hard games, you said to me. We could lose by 12 or win by 40. No, you were very confident that they would come good, and that the emotion of the late Chippy Solomon had subsided slightly in terms of a rugby context.
Yeah.
And that they were good enough to win. And my goodness, they put on a display. But the Lions, after that, wow. 3-7 up against Connacht. Two late tries made it, 33-21. But they clobbered them.
They did, mate. They did in emphatic fashion. And I think there's not much more to say about it, really. It's been a theme of the Lions' play the last couple of weeks. They definitely are surging. It's this time of the season where usually the Lions are just outside the playoffs and you're hoping for the best, and they drop a game and you think, oh, well, there's another year where these guys aren't going to make it. Now they're right in the thick of the hunt. Seems like most of their blokes are healthy, fit, ready to go. And they've just got such a nice balance between sort of X-factor blokes, the accountant at 10, heavyweight guys in the pack, and they're tying it all together perfectly at home. So we know they can win at home. Can they win on the road? We're going to find out, I suppose. They're doing great things.
Well, I mean, there's going on the road in the URC, and there's going on the road, and they're going on the road. They've got Leinster and Munster.
piece of cake, man.
I mean, they win those two games, they're the Irish champions. Hey? Champions of Ireland, the Lions.
The real Lions.
We want to play in that competition. So, I mean, they've got a tough closure, okay? I mean, Munster are coming again. They had that mid to late season dip. They've been in outstanding form in the last couple of weeks. But the Lions, now every Sunday night I choose a URC Box weekly form team. And I've got to explain it a lot to people. I'm not saying this would ever be the Box team. This is just acknowledging players from the four South African teams, if all four were in action, how they went. And it's saying to a player that you know probably is never going to make the Springboks.
Mm-hmm.
You were bloody good this week, and you're actually better than the established players for your team and in the way you played. And the Lions have been filling up my team in recent
really?
Weeks. And the guy who's been leading the way, he has played a couple of tests for the Box. He's Kieran Horn at 15.
Okay.
Thought he was again outstanding.
Yes.
Henka van Wyk. Now, this is the monument schoolboy sensation. This is the first season. He's now 24. We've seen him come to the fore, and he's definitely someone who's been on Rassie's radar for a long time.
Yep.
Injuries curtailed his growth. He's been outstanding. He makes it at outside center. The guy, and again, like I said to you last week, he reminds me of the late Kubits van der Merwe in his winner days for Western Province, also coached the Stormers, Eric Cronier.
Yep.
Just never lets that team down, whether he's playing in the midfield or on the wing. And then Ruan Venter. I picked him at flank last week because he played there, seven flank. He was outstanding. Picked him at four lock. He's outstanding there. He's played that one test against Portugal.
Mm-hmm.
He's come to the fore. I mean, Klabakani was good again. There were so many good players. Chris Smith played well, but then just two other pivots are also outstanding this weekend. And we'll get to them later. But yeah, I mean, these Lions are just rocking. I had Angelo Davids on the right wing because really, he looked the best of all the right winners that were out there this weekend, Stormers included, in terms of where the ball went and how they played. I know if it's up to you, would have picked 12.
I mean, mate, it just goes to show you how important continuity is, how important good coaching is, how important conditioning is, and a little bit of luck on the injury front, because the majority of this team has been sort of the mainstays for the Lions for a couple of seasons. And so, like I said before, the accountant, Chris Smith, adding him, I think, is a key piece to it. I think players have kind of grown. It's the same person, but they've got more experience. They're better, maybe more battle-hardened. Adding a guy like Klikani to the pack from the Sharks just reinforces that entire match day squad. And, you know, the emergence of a guy like Feast Mode at three has just shored up their set piece. So it really is a great team. You said most, you know, you mentioned at the top here, these guys might never play for the Box. That's exactly the thing that drives this team, I think, is that they know that the general consensus is these guys are below Box standard. And I think that brings the very best out of these guys. And a bunch of these guys are definitely world-class talents that could be playing international rugby.
But that's also the wonder of our game at the moment is we need to, and I'm primary to that, and especially in kind of that we cover the game, is everything is related to, is he a Bok? Can he play for the Box? What's his contribution to a World Cup campaign? But the strength of South African rugby isn't just the Springboks. It's how good are those four clubs that are playing in the URC? How good are the players in the SA Cup? How good is the Varsity Cup? How good is the under-20 and then the schoolboy system?
Totally.
Because ultimately then you get a great 30 that are going to make it into the Box setup, whether they're based in South Africa or abroad. And there was a period where a lot of players went overseas where our Super Rugby teams and then now into our URC teams, that's where you felt it the biggest. Not so much at test level.
Mm.
And especially now that we can pick from, or Rassie can pick from wherever. But losing those players at that second tier that may never play for the Springboks regularly, but they are the glue to a strong domestic fiber. And then the Lions, I've always promised that because they've had such a little intrusion from a national setup.
Yep.
And this is the year that they finally delivered. There was that wobble mid-season. You thought, oh no, it's going the same way, where they lost in the EPCR Challenge Cup to Benetton in the last few minutes. They got pumped by 50 points at home by the Bulls. And they've just come back.
Bounce back.
You guys did them a favor, by the way. I mean, when they get the Stormers scalp, then they know.
Mate, it's all about the South African effort. You know, we're all about the South African effort.
And I appreciate, one thing I appreciate about the Stormers, because I love them to bits. I mean, they are my favorite team, if you didn't know it. I can't tell you that. But you guys are top of the table after 16 rounds. Top of the table by a point. And you were so charitable, you even gave 3 games to the South African teams. You guys did everything you could for the Sharks. You gave them 2 victories, and they still couldn't use that to make the top 8.
Mate, you've always got to give a little dig to the Sharks.
Never a little dig, mate.
A big one.
That's a massive one. The Stormers gave them 2 wins.
Oh, mate.
And they still couldn't make the top 8.
Well, I mean, there's still 2 rounds, mate.
They can't.
They mathematically can't make it.
They are gone, Zells.
What if 2 teams get disqualified?
You know, that's what guys say, that you always knock accountants. Maybe you should listen a bit more and do your math, okay? They cannot make it anymore. There's not enough points. Even if they get 10 league points and score 100-100, they can't make it. They are gone. They were gone for a long, long time.
Right, okay.
So, the Lions.
What about?
I had a bit of deja vu there, the way you just said, okay, like... The Durban
it's from my crystal. Out. It's from my crystal ball.
Very
mate.
Beautiful. Thanks, Imad, for getting us all the way from China.
High quality Timu.
China. Thank you, guys. I appreciate that.
Premium.
So the Lions.
It actually said Kio and Zaros.
Owls.
Yeah.
Owls. So the Lions.
Yeah.
I love them. Cash Van Rooyen and the boys. Fantastic. We back you. We support you. You've done wonderful things. You have this week off now. You go to Ireland, and may the 4th be with you when you go there. And we're backing you. We're backing you. It'd be amazing if the Lions could host, finish top 4 and host a quarterfinal, and 62,000 could come to Ellis Park, because that would be incredible.
Oh, that'd be amazing, mate.
That would be incredible for a visiting team in this competition to actually go experience Ellis Park as it should be. Is it a possibility, Zells?
Of course it's a... They're third on the log, mate. They've just got to quickly wipe the floors with Leinster and Munster, and we're good as gold. Can be done.
Would you bet on it?
I definitely would not bet on that. No, mate.
Okay, mate, I thought so. Okay, moving along. You also wouldn't be betting on the Sharks making the last day because they're gone.
Yeah.
The Bulls, very important. Very important win. And, I mean, they had to fight the elements to beat the Scarlets. They had to fight the TMO. They had to fight everything there. The most outrageous decision when they scored the winning try, David Creel, and the TMO went and found a forward pass from last week and put it into the clips. No doubt at all, and it was no try. And somehow they found a way, their scrum, to get the penalty. Iceman came in and he did his business. 23-21, 4 league points, they end the fight. But my goodness, if ever I've seen a team not play particularly well on the night, but be given every supposedly insurmountable odd not to win,
yeah,
it was the Bulls.
Yeah, I thought the Bulls were very much in control of that game. I thought Scarlets were out on their feet at the end there. And I mean, the TMO, it was the right call. I'm just personally against taking the sort of changing what should be a moment of celebration, putting it on pause on ice, and then having to go back and look at a replay to decide what the outcome is, I think takes away from the live elements of the game. But kudos to the Bulls for finding a way to wrap it up, to seal the deal. And as you said, the Iceman split the uprights for a very important win for them. They got 2 relatively easy games at home now, and you've got to think the Bulls finished strong.
I wouldn't say Benetton's a relatively easy game. They just knocked over Leinster.
Yeah, mate. They've got to come to South Africa, the high-fault Italian teams. I don't know.
Well, they seem to have done
There's
well.
There's no gondolas there. Here, mate.
They seem to have done well. They beat the Lions at Ellis Park, and they've always run the Bulls close. Where they've struggled is in Cape Town. 56-5 last time. They came and drank the wine.
Let's talk about it. So good,
really. They talk about last year's 56-5 win. But great for the Bulls. Andre Pollard, Shane, faultless off the kicking tee. What made that match even more bearable was Nick Mallard was in the studio. I don't know what he did to be. I don't know what he did to be on the late game. I did text him and say, "Thank goodness I actually watched the halftime reviews." But he said it was great fun. Him and Jonathan and Owen had a great time in the studio, and he did feel that the Bulls are going to win by a lot more. I don't know.
Whatever.
And but they won. They won, and that's all that matters. But as Aka said, it would have been a talking point had they lost, because how many phases do you go back?
Correct. Well, but even then, mate, that's just the way they've done this thing now, is that, you know, it's within the law to go back And
they said it's two phases you can go back, according to Akers. Mm. How many can you go back?
Mm. I think it is two. I think it is two.
Yeah, well, they went back a bit more than two to get that thing. And that's what Akersim was like. When do you decide to go back and not go to back? Mm. Go back. And let's be honest, that was a hometown decision. You heard, they were going for the pass right at the end, or for Derby Crew potentially being out. That's what the home crowd was looking for. But to lose by 20 points or to lose in the last minute, equally crushing for them. And then the Stormers had to bounce back, make a statement performance, played against Glasgow's first choice. They made 10 changes to the starting team. They got demolished 54-12. It was effectively a Scotland International 15 minus Finn Russell. And they got put to the sword 48-12. Take us there, Dachias, pre-game and afterwards. Just talk us through it. We weren't in that coach's box. We weren't in the change room. And we weren't there for the week. Give us a bit of insight.
I'll say this. Devold Divinaga, who I kind of stand behind in the coach's box before the game, said he had a really good feeling about this one. I said to him, what do you mean by that? He said, I think we might get to 50 points today. I said, come on, Davies. It's Glasgow. No, no, no. I, that's my feeling. And true is, but well, we fell just short of it. We had a bit of a chuckle about that. But he was on the money. He had a hunch. And I think if you look at that week, I think that was in the pipeline, that result. And things went definitely click for us on the day. So I thought the plan was 100% on point. I thought we did a great job against a vaunted Warriors side and a team that was desperate to bounce back from their own sort of disappointment from the week before. You know, team 1 and 2 in the URC both coming off, I wouldn't say shock losses, but surprise losses. And I thought the boys did a great job. I mean, a bunch of oaks in various departments stood up and stood tall and powered by the set piece, great defense, electric finishing. That little grubber through for Ruan in the corner is insane. So a great game.
Well, let's go back to that because the set piece is just, and the simplicity of it. The lineup more was working beautifully. Ruben van Heerden, all the cobwebs gone, was outstanding at 5 lock. Andre Smith, power. I mean, I just loved the props. I mean, everyone collectively has that pack. But then a guy like Sasha Feinberg and Ngomezulu, 23 points in his 50th game. 52 times he's been picked for the Stormers. Twice he didn't get on in his first season. That was for the semifinal and final of the URC. He was still only 20 then. But 23 points, missed just one kick, and that was from 50 meters. And still, I saw on social media people condemning him for a grubber that resulted in a try the other side. And I was like, what must this guy do to create that? That's what we talk about. And that just shows how good he is that people were still questioning his decision making because he tried a grubber that didn't work. And from the transitional play, Glasgow scored. Yet he created a try with a grubber, he scored an incredible try. He kicked faultlessly, effectively, except for that one long one. A lot of them from the corner. And just his carries and his tackles and his all-round contribution. When you're that good, it's incredible. You're the victim of your own qualities because people will look for something that wasn't done and not for all the amazing things he did.
Mm. No, I thought he was absolutely outstanding. Another guy who probably doesn't get credit he deserves is Evan Ruiz. He was great. Massive ball carrier. Kubis unfortunately went down with that little injury. Going to keep him on the sidelines for a bit, but I just thought everybody across the park, the bench, everybody played their part. And like I say, the plan was 100% on point, and we took full advantage. It was great.
And I mean, you're closer to the action than most. Ruan Nell's captaincy, I mean, that has been a revelation.
Next level.
Since Dobbo kind of entrusted him with the captaincy.
No.
I did ask Dobbo like early in the season, how the hell did you miss that guy? You know? What does he bring to the team? I mean, you're there.
Yeah, he's a great leader of men, eh? Just a great leader of men. It's a difficult situation, I suppose. He's, it's a team quite a sort of, in terms of where they are in their careers, quite a diverse range of guys. There's some big personalities, obviously. And then there's some guys who are at the beginning of their careers or sort of trying to make a high-profile name for themselves, I suppose, in some cases. But he's just, I think, fantastic in bringing it all together. And he's definitely a lead by action kind of guy. And his referee management, I think, is outstanding. So he's fantastic.
So you talk about Evan Rus.
Still got again. A bit of toe as well. What is he, 37 now on the wing?
No, no, I thought he was very, no, very good. Great. Looking at Evan Rus, and let's forget about Evan Rus. Should he play for the Springboks? Shouldn't he? Rassie Rasmus knows what he wants. He knows what he needs. Whether Evan Rus is in that mix or is in the mix, that's Rassie's prerogative. He's won two World Cups. He's won two rugby championships back-to-back, and he's won a British and Irish Lions series. As people say, never second-guess the Messiah. So we don't second-guess him. But all Evan Rus can continue to do is play well for the Stormers and play for his club salary, which I'm sure the owners give it to him gratefully. 72 minutes on average he plays. People are raving about his 11 tries. It's not the 11 tries he scored in the URC. It's that he basically dominates in carries. He dominates in tackles. He's matured his game incredibly.
That's a great point.
He's conceding a penalty a game where at times it was volatile and potentially three penalties a game. He knows he's still going to have to evolve and improve his passing game a little bit more. And as he gets a bit more mature, because he's only 26, is sometimes you can step. You don't have to go over a guy. But there's so much good about his game at the moment, and he's got an engine that runs. The only time he doesn't finish a game is if it's a substitute because they want him for next week or the game's already been won. But he starts and finishes in one of the most, in a position that has one of the highest attrition rates.
Yeah, yeah. You spoke about maturity. I thought that was a great thing to say, because that game against Glasgow had opportunities there for things to flare up, and Evan was the guy running in to calm things down. And I think that is a fantastic development in his game. And he's, you know, he's a guy, when it's needed, he can be physical and he can be aggressive and abrasive. But I think he's learning to kind of choose his battles wisely. And that definitely helps the team.
Yeah, so I mean, top of the table, 16 runs, 12 wins, two to go. Ulster in Belfast, Cardiff, two places that the Stormers haven't won. But then they hadn't beaten Glasgow for five games and they hammered them. And the interesting stat there is, they've only played them twice at the DHL Stadium, and they've hammered them both times there. The one they lost was in Stellenbosch, and the rest have all been on a 4G pitch. Glasgow, Shane, is a bit different playing on grass and playing away from home than playing on a 4G pitch. But how much do you think psychologically that defeat against Toulon in the Vestic Champions Cup quarterfinal took out of them? They looked like a mentally shot team when they came to South Africa.
Yeah, I'm not sure whether it's so much the result. I mean, the result would have banged them a bit, but I think teams are starting to work out what a potential framework is for stopping the Warriors, and now Warriors need to kind of adjust to that. And I think that's kind of the little speed bump that they've hit now. Probably good timing in a way, just before the playoffs. They've still got time to fix it. I think they definitely missed the likes of Georgie Horn, Rory Dodge. I think those are two very important players for them. But yeah, it is a bit of a sort of crisis moment for them, a crossroads, and how they respond is going to be telling now in the next couple of weeks if they're going to retain their place and go all the way.
Okay, well, South Africa, we've got the Bulls, should consolidate a home playoff.
Yep.
You've got the Stormers, they've already qualified for the playoffs. What they want is that top finish to get a quarter, semi, and potential final.
Sharks still need to sneak in the back
Sharks
door.
Sharks can't get in there, but you've got any players, send them to us. I mean us. And then the Lions. We're loving what the Lions are doing. And to Frank Cahorn, Morne van der Berg, and Cash van Rooyen, what you're doing, it's amazing to watch. And to see the Lions, top three, going on tour, and confident that they can actually get one, at least one out of two, and be there at the end. I just think it's fantastic for South Africa to have three out of the top eight will be there. And serious questions to the Sharks, given the money that's been spent on assembling the squad. We know JP Peterson's just taken over. He's in the rebuilding phase. He's picked a lot of youngsters. They'll be better for this experience. Bit of backlash in the comments section that we didn't mention a young 18-year-old fullback who debuted 2 weeks ago. It's not because we didn't want to mention him. We just felt there was nothing to say about the Sharks. But he's an incredible talent. He had a wonderful debut. He's played two games now. He'll probably play for the SAs in under-20s in the World Championship. And just a great talent. Your thoughts on him?
Yeah, look, I mean, it's still early days, obviously very early days in his professional career, but I thought he did fantastic in the moments that he's played. He's obviously definitely got X factor. He's a skillful player. He's got speed. He's got a boot. So he's definitely a bright prospect. And, I suppose Luan Guillemier would tell you, just stay healthy. Stay healthy, stay on the field, keep playing.
And why do you call him Zeke?
I think his full name is Zekeletu Siaya. So I think Zeke is his...
But they do call him Zeke.
Yeah. They call me Zels.
Yeah, yeah, they call me Kyo as well. Thanks, Zells.
Okay, Kyo.
I see Hillemy's apparently going to the Bulls. I hope he doesn't follow there as well and he actually stays.
Wait, everybody's going north.
Marcus Miller, 18 years old. He got the last 12 minutes.
Oh, is that who that youngster was?
Yeah, youngest ever by a month or so. Damian Willemser was the previous youngest. And if he follows in Damian Willemser's path, well, he's going to have a great career. Two World Cup wins before he was 25, Damian Willemser.
Yeah.
But even Dobber says he was shocked by the noise and the anticipation in Cape Town for people to want to see this kid on the field. It's just great that he's had a run now. That fanfare is over. And now we can actually kind of build. And over the next decade, we can see the best of that kid. And hopefully he stays and plays most of his rugby in a Stormers jersey in Cape Town.
Yeah, I just love the reaction from the players when he came on the field. Everyone was so excited for him. You know, everybody wanted him to succeed. Ball didn't really come his way, but he did his bit on defense, made some contributions there, which I thought were great. And I've just Googled him, mate. It's actually Zekatelo, not Zekaletu. Zekatelo Siaya from Westville.
Okay, fantastic. Yeah. And I like your attention to detail, and that's why you're here.
Thanks, Neo.
Talking to attention to detail, and we haven't scripted this. Obviously, we don't script anything. But the Steco Hybrid.
Yes.
Power Tool Hero of the Week. It's got to be a South African this week. We're not going to look abroad, man. There were some
Salvin David South African?
There were incredible moments. No, he is South African. Okay. There were incredible moments. We got to look into the URC. I want to know who you've chosen and why.
I'm breaking the rules again this week, mate. It's not a URC play, mate.
Okay.
I've chosen one, Ethan Adams. Junior Bok powerhouse. Built like an outdoor toilet ablution block. The guy is as wide as he is tall. Massive quads. Just a big unit. He scored our opener against Argentina in the Under-20 Rugby Championship opener for South Africa. And I think he beat two guys with his feet and probably beat four guys with his body. He's just an absolute powerhouse inside center. Scored a great try. So that was my choice, mate. Who did you go with?
What's the hybrid nature around him?
Mate, he's built like a prop, but he scores like a center.
Okay. Now, you make a compelling argument, but I'm going to make a counter argument and then we'll put it to the vote. Iman. The Iceman, Andre Pollard.
Yes.
Ran a great support line to score probably one of the most amazing tries in the context of how it unfolded. David Krill literally...
Mate, that try made me laugh.
Literally lost his shirt along the way, okay?
First, Emrose got rocked. So is that what you're talking about? Emrose line break. He comes back. It's absolutely...
smoked. Yeah. Somehow he gets his offload away. Harold Foster, who's integral to the movement, he takes the ball from Krill. He goes upfield. He's in the support. He gets the pass. Back to Polly. Looking like a spring chicken there to score. And then he obviously the Iceman comes and he kicks that matter and they win 23-21. However, that preceded what was to come at the Nelson Mandela Bay Stadium. And 11,000 people who came out to watch the opening games. SA Under-20s, 48-0 up at one stage. And then they won 48-21 against Argentina and New Zealand, beating Australia 34-29. They were down. And then it took 13 players. The Aussies went to play in league again. And it shows Union beats league. 15 beat 13.
Time.
Every time, mate. You can't play without winners. And they won that game. So you make a compelling argument. And everyone's saying, oh, Marcus Miller, you guys are so... There's two of them. It's Adams and Miller from under-18s to under-19s to under-20s. Marcus Miller didn't play because he was playing for the Stormers. But Ethan Adams, I can't go against any junior sport.
Yes! That's a great shot, mate.
Ethan Adams, your machinery will be delivered to you at some stage this year. Thanks, Deco, always! And who else are we thanking? The man who played at 13 and not 12, and that's why I didn't make my team this weekend. But the ultimate hybrid player, Andre Esterhazy.
Yeah.
Some players choose a side. They've always said a back can never be a forward. But with Steco, Ryobi didn't just reinvent the rules. It changed the entire game. Hybrid tools for a hybrid craftsman. Steco, shaping the future. 40 years of Ryobi credibility.
Talking about hybrids, Els. Your favorite player is now a hybrid player, New Zealand's first.
mate, I don't know if he's my favourite player, Lester Fayanganuku, mate. I am a big fan of his. They started him on the wing. They moved him to centre. Now he's a forward, mate. Single-digit open-side flanker for the Crusaders. I think it's a very interesting call, mate. I think it's a very, very interesting call. New Zealand are now dredging the depths, mate. They have to turn backs into forwards.
Mate, this is where we get to say mate.
I love mate. I love say mate.
This is our New Zealand-Australia insert.
Now, it's like a boomerang. Keeps coming back.
So you said his name again?
Lester Fayanganuku.
I love it the way you say that.
Even me.
Rolls off the tongue, mate. Hey? Crusaders, for those who don't know the history, a quick history lesson. 2011 earthquake, Lancaster Park, home to the All Blacks, home to the Crusaders, home to Canterbury, never to be played in again because of the structural damage, and they could never rebuild it because of the fear of another earthquake. That incredible Crusaders team played every match away from home that season. They ended up travelling to Suncorp Stadium in Brisbane for the final. A loss to the pure genius of Will Genia and Quay Cooper on the day, but probably the most impressive season ever. And then they went and played in a rugby league ground, and that became their fortress for a long, long time. And this was the opening of the new stadium in Christchurch. I think it seats 30,000. It's got a roof. A very emotionally charged weekend. Rugby finally coming back to Christchurch. The All Blacks can go there and play again. All the big guns. Richie McCaw was there. Dan Carter. And then all double headers. So it started with the Crusaders beating the Waratahs on the Friday night, and then into the Saturday double headers. Golden Point again. I love that Golden Point in Super Rugby. Bowden Barrett kicking it. But law and order restored. And quite poignantly so on that weekend. Top four teams in Super Rugby Pacific are now all New Zealand's teams.
Shocked. Big surprise, man. It's difficult not to watch Super Rugby when it's things like Waratahs, Crusaders. It just brings back great memories. And fabulous to see some of the guys that are now in that Waratahs lineup. Some of the guys that were the sort of young upstarts towards the end of the South African tenure are now sort of the mainstays and the veterans of these teams. But one name caught my eye, mate. I loved it. For the Waratahs, mate, an open side flanker by the name of Charlie Gamble, mate. A name like Gamble and open side, you can't go wrong. I love that.
And they gambled and they lost.
Indeed.
35-20, a good win there for the Crusaders. They got their campaign back on track and they go into fourth place. There are good players here. And the nice thing about New Zealand at the moment with the new coaching staff led by Dave Rennie, all the discussion is how many newbies are they going to be?
Lots.
Imagine he comes in and just picks all the old guard
no,
again.
No, he won't, mate. He won't. I don't think so.
Everyone's talking Ruben Love at 10.
Yeah. I don't know about that one, but I want names we haven't even heard of, guys we don't even know. That'd be great. I think he's going to go find those guys. Maybe not, you know, the first test. And I think he's also going to use, like I said to you, and that we chatted about this in this one episode. I think when we get to the next World Cup, we're going to look back to this series and see exactly what Dave was trying to, you know, I think a lot of his plan is going to develop and formulate from how guys perform in this. And I think for him, he's going to view those four tests as much as he wants the All Blacks to win the series. I think he's going to play around with a few combinations and see what comes out of it.
Well, that the World Cup, potential World Cup win for them is bigger than winning this rivalry series. Rugby's greatest rivalry. That without a doubt is going to be. He's got an ambulance job to do, similar to what Kitch Christie had to do.
And
94
Russie.
Going into 95, Russie 2018 going 2019, and that makes you the most dangerous team,
big
the
time.
Most dangerous coaching, because there's no expectation beyond that tournament, and you've got to go and pick a side that you believe can win it, as opposed to I'm building for the future. I'm building two cycles.
Dangerous.
He's been out in New Zealand for 9 years, and that makes him a better coach and makes him a more rounder coach. Because when New Zealand has suffered post-COVID, it's become very insular. It reminds me of when we went sporting isolation. And that's why we thought the Curry Cup was just everything. They think Super Rugby's everything at the moment. And we got a big rude awakening when we came back to Test Rugby in 92. They got a rude awakening when they came out of COVID. Northern Hemisphere, how we had improved. And since we've gone north as one of our domestic game, just how much stronger we are at test level.
Yeah.
So, but some great talent coming through there. If Dave Rennie could find a very competitive Wallabies team, he can find a very competitive All Black team.
No doubt.
Especially if he's getting back the likes of Frizzell, Richie Mohanga, and Brady Retallick. Just transforms the nature of that match 23. So we'll keep our eyes on Super Rugby. You do the same thing. Where our eyes are this weekend, Zells, is the Investec Champions Cup semi-finals for two reasons. Johan van Kronsbath, that is a South African Johan van Kron, and Jacques Nienaber is Leinster, and that is a South African Jacques Nienaber, 2023 World Cup winning coach. And I had the great pleasure of spending 37 minutes on a Zoom call with him last week. I did time it. And I had to cut I had to cut off and say apologies and thank you. Wonderful, wonderful chat to him. And I did tell him that we've adopted him as one of our teams, and Anna Young from the EPC, I said, please, they've got so much support already. They don't need more. But he's done amazingly well since he's been there. And Fakhron's done incredible stuff at Bath.
No, I mean, there's no doubt. The proof's in the pudding. You see the results of these guys. I mean, Leinster are European powerhouses, and Bath have gone from winning the Challenge Cup to getting ready to play a Champions Cup semi-final. I mean, what he's done there is also incredible. So flying the South African flag very high.
And Johan van Kronsbath, he made several changes, primarily his reserve team, went to Northampton Saints, played their best team, and lost with a late penalty at Franklin Gardens.
Not good enough.
Consolidated his position in the Prem, but also managed to rest his big guns for the big trip to Bordeaux. And while they won't be playing at Bordeaux's rugby stadium, they'll be playing at the big one. It's going to be one hell of a ask for them to go and beat the Bordeaux Bengals.
No, indeed, mate. Bordeaux.
Bordeaux Bengals.
I love the way you talk Spanish. No. Bordeaux's a proper team. We've hailed them. Their results against Toulouse are something to behold. And that is a huge, huge, huge toss. I think if Bath beat Bordeaux, it actually doesn't really matter what happens in the final. That would be such an epic victory in France. But like you say, he's kept his frontline troops back for this one. And it's going to be an almighty clash. I think it's interesting, and I mean, I know you mentioned now that they rested players for this, but the only team coming into the semifinals, which is probably the lowest seeded team of the four, I assume, is Toulon. They're the only team of the four that won last week. All the other three teams lost. So, yeah, I mean, Toulon have just got a funny upstart vibe about them. You know, they've been winning when they shouldn't. They've beaten the Stormers and the Warriors, who aren't doing too badly in the URC. And now they're massive underdogs, written off. Come on, you can't beat Leinster in Dublin against a Leinster side that probably, I wouldn't say they're shy, but there's a little bit of doubt in that mix there somewhere. Leinster haven't, really powered through things. They've had a good season, and they're obviously in contention with the URC, but it's not classic Leinster. I wouldn't write them off, mate.
And you look at just the mentality, and we all know how much he's played the top 6 inches when it comes to the best teams in the world, regardless of any sporting code. They lost at home to Northampton in a game no one thought they would lose. As Jacques said to me, the bookies gave Northampton a 70-point handicap. They certainly didn't. He said it wasn't through any lack of effort or that the guys weren't there. But that will play a role to think we can't stumble now at home in a semi-final when they've got through a few games. And chatting to Jacques, he said, look, we've done it the hard way this year, but I like to do it the easier way as well. I don't mind getting to a semi-final or a final having lost one game. Yeah. You don't have to lose five or six exactly. to get there. You don't have to lose to learn lessons. Exactly. You know, that was his thing. So he said it's certainly not by design that they've dropped a few games. That it's also a credit to how other teams have closed the gap. Changing of a guard, some older players on their way out, academy, youthful players coming through. But just being at home at the Aviva in front of 50,000, it will be a massive ask for Toulon, who look like they could be captained by Dave Rubens again. Somerset College, Western Province youths before he went over, a couple of games for Province before he went to Northampton and then to Toulon. South Africans are everywhere, okay? So we got the South Africans here with Dave Rubens. And he certainly made his presence felt against the Stormers. We've obviously got Jacques Nienaber. If he adds this one, he's won the URC, he's won the World Cup, he's won rugby championships. He adds this one. I mean, he's pretty much got everything that he's coached in. Johan van Kron, and he's got quite a few South Africans in the mix. Thomas the Tank, the Toys there. And then you
look at... Leinster have got that Van der Vlier, man. He's also...
Yeah, no, we don't count him anymore.
Okay.
We don't count him. We got enough flankers. And then you look at the Bordeaux setup, and you've got Sean Salby, assistant coach, and you've got Heinie Adams, who's been in the mix for a long time, and he played for them as well. He's very much as much French these days as he has ever been South African. So lots to enjoy. And outside of Toulon, like you say, I've got through the back door. You got to say the others, you pretty much expected them to be there near the tail end, given how they've played.
No, totally. I mean, yeah, Toulon is a bit of a surprise in the way that they got there. But, you know, if I told you Leinster, Bordeaux, even Bath, obviously, because of their recent success, you'd say, okay, yeah, that kind of makes sense. So it's going to be an incredible Final Four. I think Toulon are going to make it exciting. I don't think they're going to win it, but I think they're going to give a bit of a push. And then Bath, Bordeaux is going to be a thriller.
Yeah, and then if you actually go onto SA Rugby Magazine's their digital and social platforms, there'll be a lot of build-up this week on the game, thanks to the editorial staff there. And if you also register, you go into the draw to win 100,000 Rand. Like we said, you don't even have to give us your bank details. The only time you give us your bank details is when we transfer the cash to you, and that will be the end of June when we make the draw. So be part of that family, kind of buy into the newsletter, etc., and lots of good offers that come through the season. The Schools Festival, Zell, they've pretty much wrapped up now, and when we kind of get back into the schooling system, it's all just interprovincial derbies for the most, except if you play in those elite leagues and you're kind of the great colleges of the world, you play outside of Bloemfontein, you play the top schools in Gauteng, you play the top schools down here in the Western Cape. But lots of schools results this weekend. But before I start, I obviously have to give a shout out to the Sachs boys who did the double at festivals. I told you they're very good at festivals. They beat Selborne, thanks to Jack White and fighting with the headmaster. So I think Selborne were a little bit underdone, and they beat Guernsey College. And they always have a great time. Then they've come into the league and they've got to play for the best teams in the country. And it doesn't go that well.
Yeah.
But then Jack Bernardi, who was in the Sachs side 2 seasons ago, SA under 20 winner, scored a hat trick of tries. David Hayes, who's a few years before that, very good fluff, Varsity Cup winner, works in London, kind of a semi-pro, made his debut for Zimbabwe against Zambia, play of the match at number 10, with Liam Larkin, who was also at Sachs before that. So all round a very, very, very good day. And then Ollie told me that him and Ollie Skiermans made a glack of braai. So they had Sachs won on the braais as well.
Wow, we're not digging deep, yeah.
And Chris Smith, if you don't know, he's the leading point scorer in the ERC, and he's a Sachs flop. So while they may not be producing any test Springboks since Monty, and as Monty says, surely the school needs a new story now. Yeah. A great weekend if your blood was blue. If you went to DHS, it's another thing.
Yeah, apparently so, mate. Apparently results didn't go quite the right way for DHS. But yeah, I mean, there were some great results. I see Grey College absolutely thumb Jeppy. DHS took 47 points from Paul Jim, not ideal. And poor old Gav Northwood went down to Gaasfontein. So sorry, Gav.
Yeah, and then you look at Rondebosch did a double. They won both games. The big one, Uffies, came from behind to beat Paul Boys 40-37. That was all at Wilderklauwe. You had the Grey High Festivals and you had the Wilderklauwe Festivals, the two big ones. Interesting results, festivals, and we spoke just kind of, we started the show, is you take like Paul Jim, Paddle Jim, they went to Uffies and put 50 past them. Uffies have turned the tables on Boys High, and I can tell you now, when Boys High play against Jim in the battle to see which team is the top team in world rugby, when they battle of Paul, it's never going to be more than 3 points, let alone 50 points. So festival weeks, you play 2 games in 3 days. A lot of squads get used. So you do see some schools win one and lose one, or get run close by a school you think wouldn't challenge them ordinarily. But the real stuff starts when they get back into their own domestic leagues, and we see what it's made of. But again, we keep on saying this. Let's not make too much of the results. Let's enjoy the fact we've got some incredible schoolboy talent.
Totally. Best in the world.
And New Zealand may say something about that, but we say no. Ours are the best.
Ours
are the best.
Exactly.
Our schoolboy system is outstanding. We produce a great national under-18 side. They go into under-20s and they win world championships.
Oh, we're going to find out soon, aren't we, mate?
And then they win sevens world championships, and then they win...
Sheep shearing.
Big World Cup championships.
Yes.
We are the best, aren't we?
Oh, and it's lovely to hear you say it.
And we have been for a while. And you know what? We say it with humility. Because we now know how New Zealand felt for 10 years.
Yeah, exactly.
Invincible!
Love it.
There was a time when the Kiwis used to say to me, "You remember the ones you won, mate. We only remember the ones we lost." Mate, we remember everyone.
Exactly.
Win and lose. So, yeah, some great, great schools rugby. And if you didn't see it, Super Sports Schools, go in there and check it out. But the story that struck me the most when it came to the schoolboy stuff was Otanikwa against Maritzburg College.
Okay.
30-29, Otanikwa win. Last minute penalty. And everyone is talking about it. Why?
Well, apparently, mate, Otanikwa made a very, very late substitution, as in after the penalty was awarded. And the bloke who came on kicked the winning penalty.
Keaton Olufir kicked the winning penalty.
That's right.
When everyone thought scrum off, Fagan Hendricks was going to kick it. What makes
Don't you think it's ironic that the guy that beat them, his initials are KO. He knocked him out.
Not bad. And he's got a lot of eat in Keaton as well.
Exactly.
What to me, the story wasn't that did they bend the rules? Did they act with not within the spirit of the game? It was that Otanikwa trusted their hooker to come back on and kick the winning penalty.
Exactly.
I mean, an incredible effort. And I love the fact that a schoolboy first 15 can rely on a hooker to kick match-winning penalties and not say number 9, 10, or 15 has to do the kicking.
Magnificent. Absolutely fabulous. And, I mean, that goes down. It's right up there with the Ollie LaRue, you know, conversions, penalties, whatever. Fabulous. Fabulous to see one of the big guys get up and smash it over, especially in such a big occasion for the win, mate. That's just glorious.
Wonderful. So schoolboyrugby.co.za, there's a lot of discussion about Otanikwa's last cast penalty winner. You'll also see the visuals of Keaton Olufi. And again, shout out to you, bud, and well done for nailing it. That was one for the front rowers. This weekend, it's all to play for two South African coaches, head coaches, a couple of South African ex-Springboks who are based in France, and a lad who's played for England, comes out of Western Province, and potentially could play for the Springboks again, Dave Ribbons. Looks like he'll be captaining Toulon in Dublin. We'll be previewing those matches on our social media channels, on SA Rugby's social media channels, on our WhatsApp channels. Zels and I will give you our predictions closer to the time. But Zels has never been wrong when it comes to French teams in the Investec Champions Cup. And I can't say that I've ever been right.